After understanding the concepts of long-term and short-term capital gains, we have to understand as to how to compute capital gains. I already told you there are two types of capital gains or losses. One is short-term capital gain and another is long-term capital gain. Short-term capital gain is that where the asset is transferred after holding it for not more than 36 months. However, in case of shares, securities, debentures, bonds, that is units of mutual fund, etc., the capital gain shall be treated as short term only when these assets, that is shares, securities, etc., have been held for less than 12 months. However, in case of long-term capital gains, long-term capital gain is those gains which arise after transferring the asset which have been held for more than 36 months. However, if the shares and securities are there, then the long-term capital gain shall arise even the shares have been sold after 12 months. So in case of shares and securities, debentures, units of mutual funds, the long-term capital gain shall be after 12 months. Is that clear? So there is no need for these assets to be held for more than 3 years. Less than 3 years is sufficient, but these assets must be held for more than 12 months. Now, having explained to you all these things, now I come to a basic thing as to how to compute the short-term capital gain and how to compute the long-term capital gain. Now, first I will write, and believe me, my dear friends, it is very easy. It is the easiest topic. So, how to compute short-term capital gains? How to compute short-term capital gains? Now, here, you know, when this, what do you call it, full value of consideration. Full value of consideration. That means whatever the sale price is realized out of the sale of that asset, that will come here. Then, should you not ask me that if sale price is realized is this, then why you write full value of consideration? Very good question. Because here, the transfer, as I earlier told you, not only includes sale, but transfer includes sale, exchange, what do you call it, and acquisition, compulsory acquisition, relinquishment, extinguishment of the assets, etc., etc. So, if the sale has not taken place, or even if the sale has taken place, the language of the section is full value of consideration. Now, here, and how to compute that capital gains is given under section 48 of the Income Tax Act. Section 48 of the Income Tax Act. So, full value of consideration less, that is, expenses on transfer of the asset, that will be reduced. Expenses on the transfer of the asset. Suppose I have sold an asset within 3 years, say house, I'll give you an example. And I have paid brokerage, I have paid commission. I had to issue advertisement in the press. Then this amount, I have to pay legal charges. So this amount shall be, what do you call it, deductible. Less, again, cost of acquisition. Less cost of acquisition. When cost of acquisition is there, in that case, what do you call it? If the asset, what is cost of acquisition? Cost of acquisition means purchase price of your asset. Less another thing, that is cost of improvement. So, after the amount which has been realized, you have to deduct three things. First thing, expenses on the transfer of the asset. Second thing, what do you call it, cost of acquisition of that asset, means at what price you purchase that asset and what are the other expenses which are incidental to that asset, that is whatever capitalized expenses are there, that shall also be added to the cost of the acquisition. Plus, cost of improvement. What is the meaning of improvement? That is, if suppose I have a house and I have constructed a boundary wall around the house. Now, this boundary wall, has it not improved the, what do you call it, value of the asset? Yes. So, that amount shall also be deducted. So, this is called as, what do you call it, how to compute a short-term capital gain. Now, my dear friends, I will give you an example. Now, the example is here. Suppose, I have purchased a house. Purchased a house on 10/5/2007, or say I have purchased the house on say 10/5/2012 for rupees 8 lakhs. Now I have sold this house for rupees, what do you call it, say 10 lakhs on 11/6/2013. This is the second situation. Third, on, what do you call it, 14/8/2012, I constructed a boundary wall for rupees 1 lakh. And fourth thing, I have paid brokerage commission to the agent for arranging the sales, rupees 20,000. So these are the four things available to you. First, I purchased a house on 10/5/2012 and the house was costing to me 8 lakhs rupees. The same house was sold to by me on 11/6/2013 for rupees 10 lakhs. I had in between, that is from the date of purchase to the date of sale, I had constructed a boundary wall around the house and the cost of construction of boundary wall was rupees 1 lakh. And last but not least, I had to pay commission or brokerage to a broker or to an agent for arranging the sale of this house. and the amount paid to him is 20,000. Now the question arises in our mind, first of all. Before attempting the problem of capital gains, you must understand whether it is a capital asset. This is the first question. What I told you in capital asset, if you refer section 2, subsection 14, I told you that capital asset is property of any kind, whether it is tangible, whether it is intangible, whether it is movable, whether it is immovable, whether it is fixed, whether it is circulating, whether it is business, whether it is, what you call it, personal, whether it is corporeal, whether it is incorporeal, property of any kind. That means every asset is a capital asset. But there were some exclusions. What were those exclusions? First exclusion was stock in trade. Second exclusion was personal effects, movable personal effects. That is personal property. And third exclusion was, what do you call it, your, say, agricultural land in rural area where there is no municipality or cantonment board and the population of that area is less than 10,000 persons. Both the conditions must be satisfied. Now, applying section 2, subsection 14, we have to see this problem. With that angle, now my first thing should be, is it a capital asset? Because only capital assets shall come in the domain, in the purview, in the realm, in the matrix, in the area of capital gain. So for any capital gain, you must understand, is it a capital asset? Now taking into consideration, the house is there. Is it a capital asset? Yes, because the house is even held personally, but it is immovable. So immovable personal assets are capital assets. Is that clear? So here the house is a capital asset. My first condition is fulfilled. Now the second condition, is it transferred? What is the meaning of transfer? Transfer includes sale, exchange, relinquishment, extinguishment, compulsory acquisition, allowing the possession of the property. Under section 2, subsection 47, subsection 5. Is it a transfer? Yes, because it is sold. Now it is a transfer. So this is a capital asset and this has been sold. So the question of capital gain shall come. This is the first thing. Second thing, you have to understand whether it is a long-term capital asset or a short-term capital asset. Now this house has been purchased on 10-5-2012 and has been sold on 11-6-2013. My dear friends, please tell me whether this house has been held for more than 36 months or less than 36 months. The house has been, yes, you are right, it has been held for less than 36 months because the date of purchase is 10-5-2012 and the date of sale is 11-6-2013. That means at least for more than 1 year it was held. It was not held for more than 3 years. It was held for only more than 1 year. Once it is more than 1 year and not more than 3 years, then it is a short-term capital asset. Now, let us compute the short-term capital gain. Once it is a short-term capital asset, the gain or loss shall be treated as short-term capital gain or short-term capital loss. Now see here. Now I will just, what do you call it, replace the values here. Now, at what value the house was sold? The house was sold for rupees 10 lakhs. So can I put 10 lakhs here as a, what do you call it, full value of consideration? That means this much amount either has been realized or shall be realized by the seller. Or has it not accrued? Yes. So this is the amount. Now, expenses on transfer. Have I incurred any amount of expense on this transfer of the asset? Yes, I had paid brokerage and commission to one of the agents, and the amount of commission was 20,000. Why I paid it? Because he arranged the deal. Now, is it not an expenses paid to the broker in relation to the asset which has been sold? The answer is yes. Now, shall I write 20,000 as a deduction here? Yes. Now, what is the cost of acquisition of the house? At what price you purchased the house? I purchased the house for rupees 8 lakhs. This is the cost. That means your purchase price. So can I replace 8 lakhs here? Yes, simply. And later on, what is the improvement of the house? Have you improved the house? Yes. I constructed the boundary when the house was with me. I constructed it on 14th of August 2012. That means the cost of improvement is 1 lakh. That means my total expenses, including the purchase value of the house, shall be, what do you call it, 2 lakhs, sorry, 8 lakhs 20, 9 lakhs and 20,000. 20,000 plus 8 lakhs plus 1 lakh. Now, this 9,20,000 shall be reduced from the sale value, because this is the amount you realized, this is the amount you incurred. Now, what is the surplus? Is there loss or surplus or gain? It is a gain. How much amount? 80,000. Now, this 80,000, whether it is a short-term capital gain or a long-term capital gain, the gain shall be treated as a short-term capital gain because it is short-term capital asset. Once it is a short-term capital asset, the gain shall also be called a short-term capital gain or short-term capital loss. So this 80,000 rupees shall be added to the total taxable income of this gentleman. Now suppose this person, so 80,000 rupees is his short-term capital gain. Now, if I tell you this thing, that this same person who has sold his house, his salary income for the period, say his salary income was rupees 7 lakhs. Now, this 7 lakhs is the salary income. And is there any income from house property in this case? No. Can I say that this income is income from house property? No. Because even though the house has been sold, this cannot be treated as income from house property. Because in income from house property, there must be the house which is existing. This is a sale. It cannot be treated as income from house property. In this case, there is no income from house property. Is there any business or profession? No. Is there any capital gain? Yes. What is the capital gain? So, can I write capital gain? Yes. Now, first of all, I have written capital gain. But what is the nature of this capital gain? The nature of capital gain is short-term capital gain. Once it is short-term capital gain, what is the amount of short-term capital gain? 80,000. That means my total taxable income is 7,80,000. This is called as total taxable income. Once it is 7,80,000, how shall you calculate the tax? Now for tax, he is an individual. In that case, in case of an individual, up to 2 lakhs amount is exempt. So, 2 lakhs, there is no tax. 2 lakhs to 5 lakhs, 10%. 5 lakhs to 8 lakhs, 5 lakhs to 10 lakhs, 20%. And above 10 lakhs, 30%. Now, in this case, up to 2 lakhs, no tax. 2 lakhs to 5 lakhs, the difference is 3 lakhs. So the tax will be 10% of 3 lakhs, that is 30,000. 5 lakhs, now next slab, 5 lakhs to 7,80,000, because 10 lakhs is the maximum. So what is your total income? It is not more than 10 lakhs. So you have to include 5 lakhs to 7,80,000. So it will be 2,80,000. 2,80,000 is the difference. So 56,000. So can I say 5 lakhs to 7,80,000? About 10 lakhs income does not arise. So the total tax is rupees 86,000 plus education cess of 3%. 860 plus 860 plus 860, 2580 will also be added. So can I say that short-term capital gain shall be merged with the total income, and the tax on short-term capital gain, if it is not a share, then it shall be worked as per the slab, STCG, slab tax on capital gain. Is that clear? Yes, my dear students. Now, we have seen this example. Now, in my view, I want to ask you, what is the meaning of expenses on transfer? Does it include litigation charges also? Suppose my asset is not transferred. Somebody has filed a case, and I am fighting case. Shall it include litigation charges also? Yes. Anything related to the transfer shall be treated as expenses on transfer. But suppose I have paid certain taxes, say estate duty, which is not there right now. Can this estate duty, which was earlier there, can it be treated as expenses on transfer? The answer is no. Can the ground rent be treated as an expenses of transfer? The answer is no. So, my dear friends, this is the, method where we calculate the short-term capital gain. What I want to tell you, this short-term capital gain will merge into the normal income, and again the tax will be calculated as per slabs. That's it. Now, having explained to you the concept of short-term capital gain, let me explain to you the concept of long-term capital gain. Long-term capital gain. How to compute long-term capital gain? The section is same, that is section 48. Now again, the methodology remains the same. What we did first, full value of consideration. Full value of consideration less expenses on transfer less. Now here you please understand. In short-term capital gain, we calculated less cost of acquisition of the asset. But here, we will just replace the cost of acquisition. We will just put another word, that is indexed cost of acquisition. Indexed cost of acquisition. And less indexed cost of improvement. Now the question arises. Everything is same, except cost of acquisition, which was there in short-term capital gain, and cost of improvement, which was there in short-term capital gain. I am writing one thing more, one sentence, one word more, that is index cost of acquisition or index cost of improvement. So the question arises as to what is the meaning of index cost of acquisition and index cost of improvement. Now, what is indexation, first of all? What is index cost? Index, if you see the literary meaning of index means extra cost. Index means more cost. Index means higher cost. Index means inflated cost. Index means, what you call it, something more than the actual cost. That is called as index cost. So extra cost, higher cost, something more than the actual cost is index. And same thing, index cost of improvement. Suppose your cost of improvement is 1000. Index cost will be around 1010. It may be anything. What I want to say here, index means more than the actual. Now, the question arises, why we, when the actual cost is there with us, why we inflate the cost? Index cost is also called as inflated cost, ballooned cost, large cost, extra cost, something more than the actual. So, why I need to do indexation? Why I need to do indexation in long-term capital gains? Because of inflation. So, you just tell me, I purchase a house on 1/5/2000 or say 1/5/1990, 4 rupees 5 lakhs. It's just an example. Now, if I sell the house on say 12th June 2013, 4 rupees, say 8 lakhs. Now, can you say that the 5 lakhs rupees of 1990 are same, carrying the same value in 2013? The answer is no. Because of inflation, the value of the intrinsic value of the amount gets reduced because of the inflation. So, 5 lakhs rupees is the actual cost. Now I sell it for 8 lakhs rupees. So, I will put 8 lakhs rupees here. And if I put actual cost only 5 lakhs, am I doing the justified thing? No. Here, in sale price, I am taking the depreciated value of the rupee over a period of time due to inflation. However, this 5 lakhs rupees, which is a cost, when I paid it, now can I equate rupee 1 of 1990 with rupee 1 of 2013? Will it face the same rate of income? Will it face the same rate of income? The answer is no. That's why. See, here 8 lakhs rupees is just a reduced intrinsic value of the rupee. The rupee price decreases over a period of time. 1 rupee, you could buy, what do you call it, 1 kg of rice in 1970, suppose, just an example. Can you buy in 1 rupee 1 kg of rice today? No. You can't even get 100 grams of rice. Why? Rupee remains the same. But the value of the rupee over a period of time depreciates, decreases. When the value of the rupee decreases, this is called as due to inflation. Now, if I have put 8 lakhs rupees here, which I received on sale of the asset, this 8 lakhs rupees is nothing but the depreciated value of the rupee in 2013. And this 5 lakhs rupees is not the depreciated value of the rupee in 2013. Can I say both are equal? The answer is no. So what I have to do? This is apple, this is orange. So I have to make it apple, because otherwise the comparison will be wrong. So this value shall also be inflated as to that what will be the value of rupees 5 lakhs after considering the inflation. What value 5 lakhs rupees will become in today's, in 2013. So we have to compute the indexation. Indexation means the price considering the amount of inflation which is there, which has reduced the economy in the, what do you call it, which has come in the economy. Now see here. Now here I will tell you how to compute index cost of acquisition. How to compute the index cost of acquisition? This one. Index cost of acquisition is nothing but cost of acquisition, COA. COA means cost of acquisition. That is the actual price you paid for the asset into CII. CII means what? Cost of inflation index. C for cost of inflation index of CII of previous year of transfer of capital asset. So again, cost of acquisition into CII of previous year of transfer of capital asset divided by CII of previous year of acquisition of asset. So CII means cost of indexation, cost of inflation index. Now this CII values, where you will get it? You will get it in your textbook. You will get it under Income Tax Act. If you will see section 48 footnote, the CII values are given. So, if CII values are there, then I will let you know the, what you call it, how to compute. So, please understand. This is a formula. Again, I will repeat. You have to make the actual cost to index cost. Convert the actual cost into index cost. That means I will have to convert the actual cost into index cost. I will give you an example. Let us take an example. Suppose I purchased a house. I purchased a house on 15-4-2003, 4 rupees 7 lakhs. I purchase a house on 15-4-2003, 4 rupees 7 lakhs, and improvement is done, is carried on 18-6-2005, 4 rupees 2 lakhs, cost of improvement. brokerage is paid, sorry, house was sold on 10/5/2011 for rupees, say 30 lakhs. And fourth thing, commission paid rupees 1 lakh. These are the four factors, parameters available to us. First, I purchased the house on 15/4/2003 for actual cost of rupees 7 lakhs. I had to pay. Second thing, the cost of improvement. I had to do interior decoration in the house. So cost of improvement is 2 lakhs, which was carried on after getting the house on 18/6/2005. The house is finally sold after 8 years around, or 7 years and 11 months for rupees 30 lakhs. And the commission paid to the broker is rupees 1 lakh. Now, we have to calculate the capital gains. Now, my first question to you, what are the four parameters of capital gain? First, it should be a capital asset. Four parameters. It should be a capital asset. Second, it should be transferred. Third parameter, it should be transferred during the previous year. And fourth parameter, it should be a long term or a short term. So these are the four parameters which are very important while attempting the problem on capital gain. Whether it is a capital asset, whether it is transferred, is it transferred during the year, whether it is a long term or short term. Even if it is transferred during the year, whether you received money or not, it is immaterial. The moment the asset is transferred, the capital gain gets attracted, whether the purchaser has paid you the amount or not. You will have to pay the tax. Income tax officer will never ask you, have you received the money for this transfer? No, he will never. It's your duty to pay the tax the moment the transfer takes place. The essence of capital gain is transfer. It is not the receipt of consideration. So this factor you must keep in mind. Is that clear? So four parameters of any capital gain. If you know these four parameters, I am sure your problem will be 100% right. Now the next point. So considering the same example, let us calculate first question. Is it a capital asset? Yes. Why? Because capital asset is my property, my house, which is immovable. Very good. So capital asset is there. Is it transferred? Yes. Because transfer includes sale, exchange, relinquishment. So it is a transfer. Now third thing, when it was transferred on 10/5/2011. That means it was transferred for the previous year, 1/4/2011 to 31/3/2012. This is the previous year. During this previous year, the house was transferred, because 10/5/2011 comes here. So third thing is also there. Now when all the things are there, now the question arises whether it's a long-term capital gain or a short-term capital gain. The house was purchased in the year 15/4/2003. It was transferred on 10/5/2011. If you will see section 2, subsection 29A of the Income Tax Act, the asset which has been held for more than 3 years is a long-term capital asset. Once it is a long-term capital asset, the long-term capital gain shall arise, and this is the formula for calculating the long term capital gain. Now again, full value of consideration. At what price the house was sold? The house was sold for rupees 30 lakhs. Very good. The house was sold for rupees 30 lakhs. Have you incurred any expenses on transfer? The answer is yes. I paid commission on the transfer. How much amount you paid the commission on the transfer? You have paid rupees 1 lakh commission on the transfer. Okay. Once you have paid 1 lakh rupees commission on the transfer, what is the cost of acquisition? But I am not interested, I am more interested in converting the cost of acquisition into index cost of acquisition. Now here, in my case, the index cost, I don't know the index cost. I know the cost. So this is the formula for converting cost of acquisition into index cost of acquisition. How you will convert? Let us understand. Now what is the cost of acquisition of the house? The cost of acquisition of the house is 7 lakhs rupees. When the house was transferred, the house was sold on 10-5-2011. So when the house was sold for 10-5-2011, the cost of acquisition, index cost of acquisition on is 785. What is 785? 785 is the index which you will find in the Income Tax Act. So for previous year 11-12, not financial, not assessment year. For previous year 11-12, what is the CII value? CII value is 785. For previous year 700, this one, it is given. So for every year it is given. Now, after understanding this, 7 lakhs is the cost of acquisition into 785 is CII divided by cost CII of the previous year of acquisition of the asset. When the asset was acquired, the asset was acquired in the year 15-4-2003. That means the previous year will be 1-4-2003 to 31-3-2004 is the previous year of date of acquisition. Now, when the previous year is, what is the previous year of this? The previous year is 2003-04, and for 2003-04, the value of indexation is 465. So, this is how you have to understand. So, once you calculate it, let us calculate this particular calculation.